God's word for us. Luke 5, verse 12. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Amen. This is God's word. Let's just pause for a moment and we'll pray together. Make the book live to me, O Lord. Show me thyself within thy word. Show me myself. And show me my Savior. Make the book live to me today, O Lord. Amen. In 1873, a priest, Damien, was sent to minister to lepers on the Hawaiian island of Molokai. When he arrived, he immediately began to meet each one of the lepers in the colony in hopes of building up friendships. But wherever he turned, people shunned him. It seemed as though every door was closed. He poured his life into his work, erected a chapel, began worship services, and pouring out his heart to the lepers. But it was to no avail. No one responded to his ministry. After 12 years of faithful but unsuccessful pastoring, he made the decision to leave. Dejectedly, he made his way to the docks to board a ship that would take him back to the mainland. As he stood on the dock that day, he wrung his hands nervously as he recounted his futile ministry among the lepers. As he did that, he looked down at his hands and noticed some mysterious white spots and felt some numbness. Almost immediately, he knew what was happening to his body. He had contracted leprosy. It was then that he knew what he had to do. He returned to the colony and to his work. Quickly, the word spread about his disease through the colony. Within a matter of hours, everybody knew. Hundreds of them gathered outside his hut. They understood his pain. They understood his fear. They understood his uncertainty about the future. But the biggest surprise was the following Sunday. As the priest arrived at the chapel, he found hundreds of worshippers there. By the time the service began, the chapel was crowded and many gathered outside. His ministry became enormously successful. The reason? He was one of them. He understood and was able to empathize with them. Friends, Jesus is one of us. He left behind the glories of heaven to come and to live as a human being. He experienced what we go through and is able to sympathize with us in our weakness. Importantly, he is able to identify with us, for he took our sin on himself as he went to the cross of Calvary. In the Bible, leprosy is a dreaded disease. There is also a picture of sin. This is alluded to in our text this morning by the fact that the leper doesn't ask for healing, but he asks for cleansing, which Jesus granted. The words clean and cleansed and cleansing occur three times to underscore the analogy. Leprosy rendered a person ceremonially defiled, unclean, so that if they were healed, they still had to go to a priest and to carry out an extensive ritual of cleansing before they could be accepted back into the religious community and back into worship. Luke, the physician, Dr. Luke, tells us that this man was full of or covered with leprosy in verse 12. His disease was in the advanced stages, but he was desperate enough to break the taboo and to approach Jesus, falling on his knees before him, begging him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And I can see the disciples almost in my mind recoiling with a gasp of fear at being so near to this diseased man. Imagine their further shock when instead of drawing back, Jesus actually stretched out his hand and touched the man and said, "I am willing. Be clean." And rather than Jesus becoming defiled, the man became instantly clean. And this miracle shows us the cleansing power of Jesus, not only over leprosy, but listen, over sin as well. This morning, we're going to look at Jesus touching the untouchable and see how this leper was cleansed and healed. And in doing this, we'll see how as desperate sinners, we ought to come to Jesus and how Jesus can still touch us today and restore us. We begin with this poor, wretched man who came to Jesus. The leper recognizes his desperate situation and comes to Jesus. Verse 12, while Jesus was in one of the towns, notice the town's not named, it's unimportant, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. We don't even know the man's name, do we? When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." This leper knew that he was in a bad shape and that if Jesus did not help, he had no hope. Luke, the physician, tells us that not just that he was a leper, but that he was full of leprosy. He was covered in leprosy. Leprosy ravaged his body. It was everywhere. He didn't have a light case of leprosy. There isn't really such a thing, actually, as a light case of leprosy. There are only stages from bad to worse. Let me tell you a little bit about leprosy. Leprosy is a dreadful disease. Most people think that leprosy causes your skin to rot and to fall off your body, but that's not really the case. There are numerous forms of leprosy, but the common form which most are familiar with is a disease that causes damage to the body's nervous system. And as a result, leprosy simply causes you not to be able to feel anything. When someone is blind, they cannot see. When someone is deaf, they cannot hear. When somebody has leprosy, they cannot feel. The infected parts of their body go numb and eventually lose all sensitivity. So technically, having leprosy never kills anyone. But imagine what your life would be like if you had leprosy. Sometimes a leper would be cutting up the vegetables for their dinner and accidentally cut off a finger and not even know about it because they've got no feeling in their fingers. Sometimes a leper would be sleeping by a fire and they would roll too close to the fire during the night and they would burn their foot without ever waking up. In the extreme cold, a leper would freeze his fingers and toes without ever knowing it. So a leper doesn't die from leprosy, but from the damage that is done to their body because they have no feeling in their limbs. And because of that, it is the most horrible disease. Leprosy is a dreadful disease because it brings social deprivation. There were strict rules that people in Galilee had to obey. And you just need to go to Leviticus 13 this afternoon. Wait till after your dinner. But go to Leviticus 13 and read all about leprosy and the rules that surround it. Lepers often had to shout out, "Unclean, unclean," if they saw anyone coming near them. Lepers were expected to live outside the town, often in the rubbish dumps, and to have no contact with former friends or family. This was for the safety of those who didn't have leprosy, also for their emotional well-being as well. Seeing a leper who has an advanced case is a very distressing thing. This man in Luke 5 had a very advanced case of leprosy. The text tells us he was covered in it. He was full of leprosy. And yet he comes to Jesus. The leper recognizes his desperate situation and comes to Jesus. And I want to point out five ways that he comes this morning. He comes desperately, desperately. We've just said that lepers were banished from the towns and from the cities. They were exiled from their families and from their friends. They were not to come near another human being other than fellow lepers who would live beside them outside the towns. If they were walking along the road outside the town and they saw others, they were to shout out, "Unclean, unclean," as a warning. And yet here's this leper, and he's in the town. The leper had heard of Jesus. The law was powerless to help him, but God sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. He came to Galilee. He came to Capernaum, remember? So it was deliverance for the demon-possessed man. He came to Peter's house. So it was healing for Peter's mother-in-law. He stood outside the door that night, and it was healing for everyone who came to him. And the leper heard of all of this, and he has come to find Jesus. He is desperate. He is risking everything here. Remember, the people would have been repulsed at him. They would shrink back from him. They would shout at him. Listen, they would even throw stones at him. Even worse, let me tell you, they would try and stone him to death. What a man to lose. So he was stoned to death. That would be a relief. What's he got to lose? He had no more shame. He did what was fearless. He did what was dangerous. He did what was bold, but after all, he was desperate. He was full of leprosy. He came along and he came to Jesus. As well as coming desperately. Notice in the text that he comes reverently. It says in verse 12 that when he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground. This man falls before Jesus. Matthew, in his retelling of this story, uses the Greek word proskuneo there. And proskuneo means to worship. It means to worship. This man was worshiping Jesus. The body language is a language of praise. He calls him Lord. He recognizes that this man is from God, that he is different, that he is special. And he came with reverence. He fell on his face. He knew he was unclean. He knew he was filthy. He knew he was wretched. He knew he was miserable. He knew he was ugly. He knew he was disfigured and disformed. And he sees the mighty Jesus before him. And he falls on his face, acknowledging the lordship of Jesus. Desperate, reverent. But there's also an urgency to all of this. He comes urgently. There's no time to waste. Perhaps he fears the crowd will deter him and stone him and force him away. Perhaps he's simply tired of life as it is and as it has been for who knows how long. And it says there that he fell with his face to the ground and he begged him. He's imploring Jesus. He's begging Jesus. He is desperate, all right? Can you hear the agony of the leper here? Can you hear his mental and his emotional anguish? He was sick of being treated like garbage. He was sick of being rejected and despised. This man is pleading for his life. He's endured this shame, this alienation, this isolation, this suffering, this disfigurement to its maximum point. Who knows how many years? He's got nowhere else to turn. And he's crying out and he's pleading and he's begging. He is urgent. And yet I want you to notice that even in his desperation, even in his urgency, he comes humbly, humbly as well as reverently before Jesus. We see his humility here. Look how he asks the question, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." He doesn't demand a healing. He doesn't do that thing that we do today either about complaining that it's unfair that we've been afflicted in this way. He didn't talk about his rights. He only stated a fact. He said that Jesus was able to heal him. I like that. He didn't have any doubt about his ability, Jesus' ability. That was becoming legendary. But he wasn't in a position to demand anything either. That wasn't his heart. This leper was aware of his wretchedness, perhaps of his sin. He knows he's poor. He knows he's broken. He knows this man before him is great and he is mighty, and he comes humbly to ask Jesus for help. He comes humbly. And the fifth thing to see there is that he comes with faith. He comes with faith. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. You can make me clean. He knows Jesus can make him clean. He knows Jesus has the power to do it. How did he know this? The same way we know, through the report of eyewitnesses. Simon Peter was there. He had stood at his own door one recent Sabbath evening and watched Jesus heal every single person from Capernaum who had come there that evening. Nobody had left Jesus sick, not one. They were all healed. And this eyewitness told Luke. He told Luke, the doctor, everything. And Luke recorded it in his gospel for Theophilus, who was not there to read and to learn from it. And we believe because we read and learn from it ourselves today. That is how the leper came to believe in the extraordinary power of Jesus. He heard the eyewitnesses. He heard the accounts of what happened. And that's why he left the leper colony and risked entering one of the towns. He trusted what the people told him. They knew the sick people before they had met with the Lord and how they were afterwards. Jesus made the difference. And on that evidence, on that truthfulness, he acted, not on his feelings, not on his hopes, but on the message that he had been given concerning the power of Jesus to help needy sinners. The leper recognizes his desperate situation and he comes to Jesus. He comes desperately, reverently. Urgently, humbly, he comes with faith. And friends, I want to say to you this morning, that is how sinners need to come to Jesus. We come at the end of our rope, knowing our sin and our shame is ruining us and separating us from our God. We come not able to see a way out on our own. We come reverently, recognizing just who Jesus is. We fall on our face before him with no rights and with desperate needs. We come urgently, begging, pleading for the Lord's help and his forgiveness. We come humbly, realizing we have no right to come, but recognizing that Jesus calls lost sinners to himself, and we come with faith. Oh, we come with faith, knowing we are weak and sinful, but knowing that the Lord is mighty and strong to save. Friends, does that describe you this morning? Have you recognized your desperate situation and have you come to Jesus? Have you recognized that you are a wretched sinner in need of God's help? Well, here's the hope. Here's the assurance of what will happen if we do come to Jesus desperately and reverently and urgently and humbly and with faith. The Lord responds willingly and cleanses the leper. The Lord responds willingly. And here comes the cleansing. Verse 13, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. Most people in Jesus' day would have run away from the man on account of the risk of infection. Or they would have called out for the man to be stoned and to be sent away. Jesus is different. He's not put off by the man's disease. He's not repulsed at the sight of the man with all of his ulcers, with the dreadful smell coming from those sores. He's not concerned about himself in any way at all. He responds willingly to help this poor, wretched sinner. And just see four ways that Jesus responds there. Jesus responds compassionately. Mark, in his retelling of this encounter, tells us that Jesus was filled with compassion. Here Luke tells us that Jesus reached out and touched the man. To touch an unclean man like this was to bring defilement on yourself. It was against the law, not to mention the risk of catching the infection, and yet Jesus wanted to show the man his love and his care. In all likelihood, this man has not felt the touch of another human being for years. His family would have stayed away from him. He would not have felt the tender touch of their hand. If he had been married, he will not have had that tender kiss daily from his wife for years. If he had kids, he wouldn't have had the joy and comfort of drawing them close and hugging them. No one has touched him for quite some time, and compassionately, Jesus reaches out and Jesus touches him. In fact, the word is much stronger than just a touch, by the way. The Greek could literally be translated that Jesus took hold of him. Took hold of him. Maybe he put his arm around his shoulders. Maybe Jesus embraced him. Jesus could have healed the man without touching him. He does it all the time in the Gospels. He just needs to say a word and there's healing. He can heal from a great distance without a word and without any touch. But Jesus knows that this leper needs love just as much, if not more, than he needs healing. Not only does Jesus respond compassionately, but he responds willingly. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." The man knew Jesus had the power to heal. He just wasn't sure if Jesus had the willingness. Jesus did. He was willing. And as he spoke with authority and compassion, the disease left the man. Jesus' touch was enough to bring healing. Jesus could have rejected him like everyone else has for years. Jesus could have carried on with the work that he was doing, preaching and praying, but he stops. And he is willing to bring healing. And this is what I love most of all. Jesus is willing to reach out and to touch and to speak and to heal. He is willing to love the unlovely. He is willing to touch the ugly. He is willing to call sinners to himself. And boy, how grateful I am for that this morning. Poor, wretched, covered in sin. And yet God loves me. He chose me. He sent his son to die to save me, and his Holy Spirit has sealed me for all eternity. Isn't that an amazing thing? Jesus is willing to call you, to touch you, to heal you, to forgive your sin, and to grant you a place in eternity with him. Compassionately, willingly. And look here as Jesus responds powerfully, and immediately the leprosy left him. Immediately. The deliverance was like the removal of a decayed, painful tooth. You ever been there where your tooth is so sore and you go to the dentist and they get the pliers and they pull it out and instantly that pain is gone. Instant relief. I sometimes wonder that actually, but I don't think I've ever been to the dentist where it's not been painful for days afterwards. But you get what I'm trying to get to with that one. There was instant relief. It was all done in the flicker of an eye. One second, this man was full of leprosy, covered in sores and rashes, stumpy fingers and feet with ulcerated stubs, no ears, a hole where his nose had been, all in all a horrible spectacle. And the next moment he's free from the disease, the healthiest man in Galilee, his skin supple and soft, his hair black and shining, his hands smooth and beautiful. And it happened immediately. Luke writes, here's the great power of God at work. He is mighty to save. And just quickly, as a little bit of a side, I want you to jump down to verse 16, because we're talking about power here. Verse 16, and it says, "But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." Here's where Jesus' power came from. Here's where his power came from. He daily needed to seek the Father. With all the demands on Jesus' time, with all the demands of people asking for healing, with all the demands of preaching and teaching, he's tired and he's worn out and he needs power. He needs recharged. He needs the Spirit's renewing energy in his life. So he often withdrew to lonely places and he prayed. And friend, if Jesus needed to take time out to pray and to be with his Father, then do you not think that we just might need to do that as well? Lastly, just see that Jesus responds with a warning as well. Verse 14, "Then Jesus ordered him, 'Don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them.'" What a contrast. The compassion that Jesus is also stern. Jesus sent him away. Literally, that phrase means he threw him out. But Jesus did this for a purpose. This man wasn't to go home first where people might view him with suspicion. After all, he could see the physical change, but they would still be worried about the infection that had ravaged him for so long. There was a detailed process for a healed leper to follow. He was to present himself to the priest. He was to get a certificate of cleansing on the basis of a ceremony. And you can read all about that in Leviticus 14. So there's two chapters for you later on today, Leviticus 13 and then Leviticus 14. The leper was to come to the priest, and the priest was to go outside the camp to where the leper was. And listen, I just want to give you a wee analogy there this morning, because that's exactly what Jesus did for us. When we couldn't go to heaven where Jesus was, Jesus came down to where we are. When we couldn't get to God, God came to us. A remarkable picture. And of course, the warning there of not telling anyone. Jesus quite often told people not to tell anyone. It wasn't time for that yet. Jesus had so much more to do before the word spread, and he wanted people to hear his teaching. He wanted them to accept who he was, rather than simply coming to see miracles and to be healed themselves. As we see in verse 15, though, the man couldn't keep it to himself. So excited was he at being cleansed, the word spread, and people came to Jesus to hear him and to be healed. Amazing how quickly after we're saved that we grow disobedient again, eh? Isn't that an interesting wee thought thrown in there? This man's told to go and do something, and he can't even do it. Man, how quickly we're saved. God opens our eyes, and we get to see the wonderful truth that he has chosen us before the creation of the world. He saved us through the sacrifice of his Son. He sealed us for all eternity, and so quickly we disobey, and we go back to our sinful ways. We have a short, simple story where we're reminded of the love, care, and compassion of the Savior Jesus touching the untouchable. The leper recognizes his desperate situation and he comes to Jesus. And just as leprosy defiles a person, just as leprosy makes them unclean and unacceptable, so sin does the same to you and to me. Sin separates us from a holy and a righteous God. However, when we recognize our desperate situation and come desperately, when we come reverently, when we come urgently and humbly and with faith to Jesus, he will cleanse us and renew us. The Lord responds willingly, and he cleanses the leper, and he does the same for lost sinners who seek him. He acts compassionately, he acts willingly, he acts powerfully, and with a warning. Jesus has a power to save. He has a power to save us if we simply come and accept the forgiveness that he offers, if we come believing that he died to save us, and if we crown him as Lord of our lives. Friend, do you need to do that today? Do you recognize your desperate need? Are you a sinner who is lost and alone and cast out in this world? Then would you come to Jesus? Would you accept the forgiveness that he offers to you today? And for those who've already accepted that forgiveness, are we humbly and are we obediently living for him? Are we reaching out to touch the leper? Are we reaching out to touch the unlovable, the needy, the poor? They're all around us. And yet sometimes I fear that we are too comfortable sitting right here. Are we willing to reach out to touch the sinner and to lead them to Jesus? Jesus cleanses every sinner who appeals to him, and then he calls us to live a life of cleanliness through obedience to his commands. Are we that people? Are we living obediently for him? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your love, for your grace, for your mercy. We thank you for the eyewitness accounts that are all written down and recorded for us in Scripture. We thank you for the power of Jesus, that he is mighty to save. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to recognize that. Lord, we may not have leprosy, but Lord, we all suffer from the curse of sin. Sinners through and through. And we thank you that Jesus came to cleanse, to redeem, to save sinners just like us. And so, Lord, we just want to thank you and praise you this morning for opening our eyes, for choosing us before the creation of the world, for calling us to yourself. And Lord, I do just want to pray this morning for any in this room who do not know you, who have not put their trust and their faith in Christ alone for their salvation. Father God, I pray this morning that you would open their eyes, that you would reveal your glorious truth to them, and that they might respond in faith. Lord, for those of us who have maybe wandered away, become complacent, we ask your forgiveness afresh, and we pray that you would help us to obediently live for you. Lord, for those of us who know you and love you, help us to walk more in your ways. Help us not to be comfortable in here, but Lord, help us to reach out and to touch the untouchable and to share your love and your grace and your mercy with them. Lord, give us courage. Give us boldness. Give us strength. We thank you for your unfailing love. We thank you that you are mighty to save. Hear our prayer. Continue with us, we ask, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.